This is the fifth episode of the Marta Vogt podcast, a podcast created and produced by Forschungsverbund Berlin. As I mentioned in the trailer, one of the objectives of the Marta Vogt podcast is to encourage talented young women to choose scientific careers in the first place and also to stay in academic research after their PhDs. However, it would be unfair to ignore the fact that not everyone want and not everyone can stay in academia for a variety of reasons. So does it still make sense to start and do a PhD at all if you are unsure that academic research is something you would like to do all your life? What could it give, if anything at all? These are the questions we will discuss today with Melanie Budde, the former doctoral researcher in the epitaxy department of the Paul Drude Institute for Solid State Electronics. Melanie has just recently submitted her dissertation to the university and she's currently preparing for her defense. Before her PhD, she studied nanotechnology and physics of semiconductors at the Leibniz University in Hanover. In this episode, she reflects about her own doctoral experience and also shares some tips on how to make your PhD time as smooth and positive as possible. Enjoy listening. Hi, Melanie. Thank you for showing interest in participating in my podcast. I know that you have handed out your PhD dissertation to the university only a couple of months ago. Is it right?
Yes. And hello.
So how do you feel now? Did you manage to have some rest?
Yeah, I had some rest now. It's 2 months ago now. And I'm now really relieved to hand it out because it was a little bit stressful before. But yeah, I had a little bit rest and I worked a little bit longer at PDI. But yeah, it's better now.
And how was this last month for you? The last month while you were writing your dissertation?
So as I said, it was really stressful. I think always when you write something or you write your thesis, there's always something you find which you could improve and you have to decide a point where to stop. So it was hard to find that point. And it was also really interesting to write my thesis because when you do lab work, you always produce results, but you're not really taking the time to look at them in details. I mean, sure, if you write a paper or something, but in between, it's hard to focus on your results. And yeah, writing the thesis helped there a lot to put everything together.
I guess it helps to see again the big picture of what you have done all this time, right? To focus again on this big picture that probably get a bit lost.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
And what helped you to stay focused? Like you mentioned now that it's hard to find this balance where you start to dig deeper and write more between this and knowing when is enough.
To decide that, I guess my supervisor helped me a little bit because we had to decide together where to stop. And also, I had some kind of timeline. I had a date I wanted to hand it in. It worked almost. And I think that also helps a little bit. And also, I mean, you don't want to hand in 200 pages. So also, yeah. I try to say, let's stick around 100 pages and I think altogether the supervisor, the time limit, and also the page limit.
Yeah, I think it's kind of important because many people have this problem and they just go deeper and deeper and they never really finish or they finish much later.
It's also the same when you research to find a point where to stop, because even now I would have a lot of points which I would like to investigate still. But at some point you have to decide, okay, now it's enough for my PhD thesis also.
Yeah. And in your PhD, you studied transparent semiconducting oxide thin films. Can you tell a bit more, what is this? What did you do? What were your goals?
Yeah, of course. So I actually focused on the growth of those thin films. And I did the growth with molecular beam epitaxy. So I will call it from now on MBE because it's shorter. And MBE is a, or inside an MBE, you have different material sources. This is, for example, in our case, or my case, tin and nickel. And those sources you can heat up. So they produce a molecular beam, so flux of the material. And since I want to grow oxides, I also added oxygen in my chamber. And then I try to grow those thin films. Thin films grow, in my case, on top of a substrate. A substrate is in principle a plate, a crystal plate of a further grown material, which is single crystalline. So it has a defined orientation orientation of atoms. And the thin film orientates a little bit on that. This is what is called epitaxy. So you try to grow it on top of that. And depending on what is your goal, you try to get certain properties. And in my case, I wanted to grow transparent and conducting films. P-type conductive means that it's conductive by holes. And not, you normally think about conductivity by electrons, but in this case, it's by holes. And what I do is that I try different growth parameters, so changing a little bit, for example, the temperature or how fast my film is growing. And then afterwards, I investigated the transport properties. So is it conductive? How does it look? And and try to find the perfect conditions for the properties I want to have. Mm-hmm.
And these films, as I understand, have potential application for electronics.
Yes.
In some probably far future.
Yes. Yeah. This, what I did was more fundamental physics. Mm-hmm. So, for example, what is used at the moment, most of the time still is silicon. And before silicon was used, there was like 20 years of research. So let's say it will take 20 years until my material is used, but there are already still some small application where it's used. And yeah.
And why did you choose this topic for your PhD? What raised your interest?
In my master thesis, I already worked with MBEs. So I really liked this the being a growing scientist, let's say. And what I like there is that I sometimes compared with detective work, which is a strange picture, but what you do is you grow films under different growth conditions. And from the properties, you get back, let's say, clues on what is what could be the perfect condition. And this gathering the clues and finding the perfect condition is for me a little bit like detective's works, and this is what I liked. And also I like this creative, more basic research doing fundamentals. So yeah.
Were you interested since you were in school in the field of physics and chemistry, or did it came later?
I would say most of it came later, because in school, I really liked chemistry and math. Mm-hmm. And physics, actually, in Germany, you can decide on which subjects you want to focus. And there I decided I will not have physics at all. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have physics in my last years at school because I didn't like it. I think it has, in school, it often has something to do with your teacher. So I think I didn't like physics because the teacher, maybe in my case, didn't show me how nice and, let's say, beautiful physics can be. Mm-hmm. And then I studied nanotechnology, actually, because it's, for me, it was a good combination of chemistry and math. And first I wanted to focus on chemistry, then later, but at university I really, really liked physics. Mm-hmm. And so it's changed from chemistry to physics, and now I'm...
So the professors at the university managed to get you interested in physics?
Yes.
And coming back to your work as a PhD researcher, did you have a moment during this 4 years that you hit a point when you start to doubt yourself, your research? And maybe even consider it to quit if that happened?
I never considered to quit, but yes, there were hard points. So first of all, the first part of my thesis where I worked with one material, the results were not as we wished for. So it was really hard to still get focused, but I always want to get the solution. So I always motivated to, okay, let's try another one and another one. And in general, I'm a really positive person. So I always think there will be a way to do it. And the other hard point for me during my PhD was that I had health issues. So there, I would say half of the time, I wasn't at my best level of health. And yeah, that wasn't easy, but I got a lot of help from family, friends, of course, but also from PDI and my supervisor, which always said, don't stress out and take your time. And yeah, we managed everything.
Yeah, that's very valuable, I guess, to have a right supervisor who can see these things and be, let's say, to have this emotional intelligence, how it's called, to see when people need some rest or some less stress, let's say, not rest, but less stress.
Yeah, I think so. And also it's really important to communicate it. So when I had those health issues and I knew that I will start a therapy and this therapy at the beginning can be really stressful and hard, I went to my supervisor and told him, okay, I have this, I want to get better, but the first 3 months or whatever, there can be days I cannot come or I have to work from home or something. And yeah, we figured it out together and it worked fine. But yeah, I guess you also have to have a supervisor which listens and is willing to talk with you about that.
Mm-hmm. You said that you were staying positive about your results, that you can get something. Is there, you are just by nature like this, or what helped you to stay positive?
Well, a little bit. I'm, as I said, a positive person. Mm-hmm. But also, I think that you have to see the big picture. There was a reason why you started it. Mm-hmm. And this is not going away because your results are not perfect. And on the other hand, I had the luck that I had two materials I had to investigate. So at some point we decided, okay, we stop with the first one. Let's take a look at the second material. And this worked a lot better. So that also helped a little bit.
You speak very positively about your PhD experience. Overall, I guess you're quite content with it and with your results, with what you managed to achieve. But I know that you nevertheless made a decision to stop at this point with academia and switch. And one of your main priorities is to become a teacher, a school teacher, after your defense. Can you tell a bit how did you come to this decision?
Yes, so I think one of the points is that I like to have some kind of security or safety, which is hard to find in academia, because if you want to stay in academia, you always have to find a project or a position. And the thing is that most of the positions are part positions. So it's, you have this position for 2 or 3 years, which is not really what I would like to do. And I think if you really love to research and love this kind of work, it's fine to accept this. But for me, it's there are other priorities. And then also I took a look at industry. Maybe I can research there, but with having a full-time or a safe position. But there, the problem is it's a completely different research. They are more focused on the costs and it's more defined what to research. In academia, it's really creative research. You can more define on which direction you want to go. So depending on what you want, there are pros and cons for both. And for me, I couldn't see me in both parts. Mm-hmm. And I also had an internship at the school beginning of the year, and I had a lot of fun. I really like to show the students how cool physics can be and maybe have the possibility to be different than it was for me at school, and show that physics can be fun and that it's maybe worth to even study it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, all that together, I think, brought me there.
Yeah, is there a solution or is there a certain change that would change your decision in favor to academia? Do you see how it could be changed?
I think for me academia is not right. Mm-hmm. Not only because of the long-term decisions, but in general about how it works. Because what I like, I could be a PhD forever because I like to do the research. I like to be in lab and also maybe writing some paper, but I'm not the best writer. So my supervisor had to help me always and a lot. I had the feeling, but it's fine. And I think the more you do research, the more it switches to writing more, mm-hmm. and being less in the lab. And I think I would miss the lab too much. At least I think it would be from the position I am now. And in general, finding a solution to this problem is really hard. Sometimes I thought, okay, politics could do more and maybe finance more scientific research and stuff like that. But I think it's also, on the other hand, good how it works, mm-hmm. because you have to think about what you want to research, you have to write a proposal, and you have to hand it in, and then you get your money. Mm-hmm. And this is why you only have project, and you get money for 3 years and not for, I don't know, 20 years. And there are possibilities to get a long-term position, but this still means you have to write proposals and get your money and stuff, which is not a job I see me in. Yeah, but this is still a good way for the system to see what kind of research are the people doing and what makes sense and what not, and yeah, to true. Be sure that from the money something is produced also. Mm-hmm. So I think it's hard to find a better system. I think that's a discussion which could take hours.
It's hard to find a balance between those two. You decided that you would prefer to be a physics teacher now. And do you feel, did you have thoughts that maybe then your PhD was kind of an unnecessary detour in your career? That you could become teacher even without spending 4 years in the lab? Did you have such thoughts?
No. Maybe that's, again, because I'm too positive and say, well, it was really nice 4 years. I would never do it differently. Mm-hmm. So, but also I think I learned a lot for my life as a teacher. So during those 4 years, I also got more self-confident and more independent. I had to go to conferences. So I learned how is it to be in front of an audience? How is it to present something? So it helped me to stand in front of, let's say, 30 students and be self-confident about what I'm saying. And I doubt that I would be that confident to stand in front of a class without the PhD. And also during my PhD, actually, I had a lot of opportunities, thanks to PDI, to do some science communication. And this actually brought me this idea to become a teacher. I think before it would never mm-hmm. be in my mind.
So you had to get through this experience to come to this decision in your,
yes.
in your life. And is there any advice you can give to a person who is at the moment is considering whether a PhD is something for him or her or not, whether to start PhD or not?
I think that it depends on the person, of course. I would think about, how did you like your master thesis? Did you like doing the research? I mean, it depends a little bit on what you studied. But did you like what you did in your master thesis? Because normally PhD thesis is similar, just longer or bigger. And do you feel confident to do a research project more on your own? Because in the master thesis, normally you're supervised a lot stronger than during your PhD. And also, I think that in general, if you're not 100% sure, just do it. Because, I mean, even if you at the end are not going to academia, as I'm now doing it, you still learn a lot from those 4 years, in my opinion. But you have to find something or thesis which, or a topic which really interests you, because you will research this for 3 or 4 years. So it has to be something you're really passionate about, I would say. Otherwise, it's hard to work so long and also hard. I mean, it's not an easy time.
And I guess you also have to make some pre-research on the place where you go and on the supervisor, because it turns out, like in your case, the supervision is one of the also main topics with whom you actually work, who is guiding you through this experience. And this is not easy to know in advance, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. So supervision is a lot, and also the group. I mean, I had a lot of luck with my group in general. We had good communication together. If you had a question or a problem, you could always go to someone, which also helps a lot to discuss where you're standing in your thesis at the moment. And yeah, so you have to do a little bit research about your topic and also on the place maybe where you go, but you can not always say how it is. I mean, you normally have some kind of talk with the supervisor beforehand, so he can decide if you're right or not. And you can also get at least some kind of feeling if this could work, but I guess more is hard to get in advance. Mm-hmm. You have to try it out, I think.
Great. Thank you. I think it was, although short, but very informative in a way. Like, we discussed so many things, and I think there were many interesting insights. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me. It was really nice to talk to you.
And good luck with your defense.
Thank you. I'm a bit nervous, but I hope it works.
It will be fine.
I hope you also found this interview very insightful. The previous episodes of the Marte Vogt podcast you can find on the Forschungsverbund website and all popular podcast platforms. Bye!